Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM. The Fan, see Sparky Pfeiffer, Charlie Husen producing the other side of the glass. Being joined now, one of my favorites. He is Dusty Evely, film analyst for Pack-A-Day Podcast, and now the Colts Wire as well. So double duty. We can talk about both teams with Dusty Evely. Follow him on Twitter at Dusty Evely. Dusty, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, man. Always a pleasure to talk with you, dude.
All right, so what happened in the second half? Like, what happened? I mean, the first half, they seemed to have things under control against Hurts running the ball, against Barkley running the ball. For the most part, I felt good after the first half. And then the second half came, and it looked like a completely different game.
Yeah, it's one of those games, I mean, you hate to boil it down to one or two things, but, I mean, it's a weird game in terms of, I mean, I think the turf played a really huge role in this. There's a whole lot of, I mean, I think of, you know, say Jaire Alexander wasn't in the best position on that big play to A.J. Brown, but he probably makes that tackle or at least slows him down, but instead he goes sliding out of frame. Like, you have a whole bunch of things like that. I think you can go down the road. There's a handful of different things that went wrong. I've got some things I've got questions about. But it's kind of one of those, with some things, it's like it's a lot of those guys are out of position in some part just because they slipped, man. There's a whole lot of slipping, so it's hard to pinpoint exactly what. I mean, I think the run game came alive in the second half, which was good to see. I was actually feeling pretty good about them until the Love injury, but the run game is going to wear you down. I thought they did a good job controlling Hurts for the most part, but then Saquon's boomer bust, and Saquon busted off a couple, and some of those again were slips, and some of those were just. He's making plays. It's hard to hold down a guy like that for a whole game.
And you saw some interesting stuff. I mean, blitzing Nixon, and then you drop Clark and Wyatt back into coverage from the defensive tackle position. And Nixon got home. He got rid of the ball in that moment. Hurts did and completed it, but that was interesting.
Yeah, no, that was one of the ones. I mean, I think we've talked about this before. I used to write something that was my favorite blitzes of the week. That was when Pettine was in town. I had to stop writing it when Joe Barry was in town because he never did anything interesting. But I think I'm going to break it back out this year because there were some good blitzes. That was probably my favorite one. I'm a sucker for kind of that zone blitz. You drop those tackles out. They're playing those zones. I thought they did a good job. And like you said, he got home a split second too late, and that was the Jaire slip one. So I thought, certainly not a perfect defensive performance. Again, some of that's the slipping, some of that's whatever. I think we saw what we thought we were going to see from some of the defense, right, was they're going to make some big plays. They're also going to potentially give up some big plays just due to the aggressive nature of it. And, you know, they got a couple turnovers. That was awesome, and they just couldn't capitalize on those on offense. They gave up a lot of points. But I think some of the defense is we kind of saw that aggressiveness and kind of the pros and cons of that a little bit in this game as well.
Can we talk about your favorite player, Quay Walker, and how he played?
He did not play very well. He did not play very well. I was watching Edge Cooper. Like, Edge Cooper looked amazing.
Don't divert the conversation. Stay focused on Quay Walker, please.
He looks slow, dude.
He did.
I mean, not slow in terms of, like, he doesn't have foot speed. Like, just, like, he didn't trust what he was seeing. He was a step slow to everything. I think he had a couple plays where he looked nice. He had one where he rushed the passer and did the kind of little sidestep. We talked about this before, dude. Like, if they send him as a blitzer, I think he's very good there. But we'll see. I'm waiting to see, you know, with a little more sure footing back in Green Bay this weekend and in the second weekend, this new system, if he looks any better. But, man, he looked like he was a step behind pretty much every single play. That was pretty disappointing.
Now I'll let you get excited about Edgerrin Cooper, who you wrote about. Go ahead.
Oh, dude, Edge Cooper, man. He played 11 snaps, and I swear he looked like the best guy on the field on all 11 of those snaps. I mean, okay, so a couple of them he didn't do much, But he had the one. He broke up a screen pass by just screaming down the field on like that delayed blitz look. He had a single coverage snap, a single one. And you know what he did? He covered a tight end up the seam and to the sideline, step for step. I don't know the last time we've seen that. We saw him against the run, kind of reading, staying in his gap, reading the flow of the defense and sticking his nose in and making plays. He had one where he went screaming off the edge, took down Saquon Barkley with a kind of shoestring tackle there for, I think, could have been a relatively big gain. I think it would be in a two-yard gain. He hit him at the line of scrimmage there. But, I mean, I've talked about inside linebackers a bunch in terms of transition, into the league and kind of how tough that is. So I don't think it's all going to be sunshine and roses for Adrian Cooper. Those 11 snaps, you watch that guy and go, maybe they had a package. Maybe they had certain things they wanted him to do. You watch what that guy did and like, okay, he might make mistakes. He's going to make some plays and he's going to do it 100 miles an hour. Like, I'd prefer that guy to be out there a little more just based on what we saw from the linebacker group this week.
So who's, in your world, in week five, week six, are Hopper, Cooper, and Walker the three on the field, do you think?
Man, Hopper's tough because he was up and down in preseason. Ideally, yes, just because you want those guys playing on their rookie stuff. I don't know if Hopper's going to be ready. So I think Wilson looked fine when he was out there. McDuffie made some plays. He's just a little slow. So I think by week five, week six, if it's Quay and Cooper and then either Wilson or McDuffie, I think I'm fine with that, with hopefully, working in Hopper a little later. I don't think Hopper's there, just based on what we saw in preseason.
Let's switch over to offense and the offensive line. Thoughts on what you saw from Mr. Morgan and Mr. Ryan at right guard?
A little messy. Everything's a little messy there. I think I liked what I saw out of Morgan. Just Ryan made a couple nice plays as a puller, and that's something I think we've talked about before with like those guys they have. They can pull all five. I think we saw some of that. But Morgan can move as well. So at this point, I honestly don't know, man. I think Ryan is probably a little better, or at least a little more like polished at the moment. But I'd rather just see Morgan there going forward. He's going to take some lumps. Ryan also was going to take some lumps, but I think Ryan is who he is. At this point, I'd rather just roll with Morgan at this point.
Do you feel confident running behind either side of that line right now if you're Matt LaFleur? Nope.
Define confident.
My answer is no.
I'd rather go left. I think Walker settled down once the game got on a little more. He came out the gate a little rough, but I feel much better behind the left side than the right side. But also, part of that also is I don't know that it matters which side you run to, because we did see more pulling linemen, more pulling tight ends than we've seen before, which is kind of what we thought going in. We saw more power approach, and so they're adding more bodies at the point of attack. It's not just you running behind left tackle and left guard. You're running behind left tackle, left guard with a pulling right guard and a pulling tight end as well. And so I think they're doing a good job from what we saw. And again, a little messy this past week, but I think their approach in the run game is going to be more, we will just add more bodies to this problem, which I am a fan of.
Let's talk about play design by Matt LaFleur. Did you see anything in this game different than maybe what you saw last year, now that you have more veteran wide receivers and a quarterback that knows what he's doing?
I mean, I don't know about different. He showed some really nice stuff, like some really nice kind of designer plays. He had the miss, quote-unquote miss to Christian Watson in the end zone. That was really just Watson getting bumped off his route as the ball was in the air, which, call that defensive pass interference if you want. Usually they do. It just looked like a flat-out miss from Love, but that was kind of a mesh concept, which they used to use all the time, dude, but they don't really do a whole lot down in that area of the, or they only do it down this area of field now. That was a nice little variation of that. I don't think we saw that before. We got four penalties thrown on one play. That was a touchdown that Amon-Ra St. Brown scored to them last year. They ran that play in this game and would have probably gone for a touchdown if Quinion Mitchell didn't just straight up tackle Bo Melton. So I think a lot of it was the same stuff. There's a lot of attacking in the middle of the field, a lot of kind of the dagger with like the deep clear out, and then you run like an in-breaker behind it. We saw a ton of that stuff. They went fairly light on the boot game, which is usually like their bread and butter. And I think that might just be because of the footing. Jordan Love.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Footwork was choppy. Like, I think he knew, that they knew going in, this footwork's going to be bad. Like, we want to put less movement stuff in. So I'll be curious to see how that looks this week. But I did notice a little more. I think the play action game was up. I think they used a lot of play action, but not a lot off boot. And so curious to see if that shows up this week. They leaned heavy, heavy in the middle attacking concepts, but not really anything that we haven't seen from them before, I don't think. Just they spammed a little more in this game. But more because I think Eagles linebackers than anything, they just wanted to kind of play with those guys there.
Talking with Dusty Evely, film analyst for the Pack a Day podcast and the Colts Wire. So we'll talk about Colts here in just a little bit. Tight ends. I had a couple of different people, not any type of media people by any stretch, but just a couple of people saying to me, Tucker Kraft is clearly the one. Musgrave is clearly not as good as Tucker Kraft. I'm not quite sure how you make that basis off of one game necessarily. Do you have thoughts on that battle between those two?
I do. I mean, Kraft is, I think, if you look at Kraft's game, he does profile more as a tight end, as your inline tight end, the way that LaFleur likes to use him. Even some get some backfield snaps this week, which I think he had one all of last year, and I think he had two or three this week. I mean, he is kind of the more block you tight end. Like, he is, if you think of, like, George Kittle, like he's kind of like a smaller George Kittle type, right? Like that's what they want to do with him. Musgrave really, like, he sticks his nose in there. Musgrave does try to block. They do ask him to do a lot of those things. He just isn't as good at it. He's not as strong at the point of attack as Kraft is. And so I think Musgrave's role, which when they drafted him was kind of seen as his role, is like more of a big slot. Like, he is going to be your mismatch, your guy down the field. And there's like play by play, there's not as big a use for that is just an every down tight end. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think Kraft went 96% of snaps and Musgrave was around like 16, probably more than 16. It wasn't very much. I think Kraft out snapped him like 3-1 or something like that. So, I mean, I say better. I think Kraft is the better tight end. Musgrave could be a bigger game changer, but based on how they're running their offense, I do think Kraft is going to be on the field more just based on his skill set.
What do you expect to see from this Packers offense with Malik Willis? I expect to see more designed runs for the quarterback.
Yeah, dude. And they've had, for years, we've seen it. We've seen glimpses of this kind of option, triple option, throw to the boundary game. They rarely run it. Sometimes they will keep it. I don't think they've ever thrown to the boundary. But you've got this kind of, we've seen plays of this kind of zone read package where the quarterback can hand off or keep it. And then if someone's scraped around the edge and waiting for the quarterback, he can throw it to the boundary. We've seen that. We've seen different versions of that. They rarely run it, and they've never thrown it. So we know that's in the bag. We know that LaFleur has it in his playbook. I think they go a lot with that. I think QB run game, I wouldn't be shocked if the first play of the game is like max protect, heavy play action, chuck the ball as far as you can, try to get that to, you know, Reed or Watson or something like that. But I do think it is going to be QB run heavy in general, but QB run, some option stuff that I think they've been working on for years that we just haven't really seen. I think we're going to see that this week.
Let's switch to the other side with the Indianapolis Colts now, since you write for the Colts Wire now as well. You and Paul Bredel taking on that the Colts job over there. What kind of defense is Gus Bradley going to run against this Packers offense? Because Joe Mixon is still making Gus Bradley wake up in sweats right now.
Gus Bradley has been running the exact same defense for 20 years. Gus Bradley's going to run cover three. He runs cover three at the highest rate every single year. He has never changed. When everyone went to quarters, he ran it in the exact same way, the exact same percentage, pretty much every single year. So you know what he's going to do. And if he coaches guys up, and there's some dudes that could cause some issues there, but that's one of the easier defensive coordinators in the league. Some guys will change some stuff. Gus Bradley's just a cover three guy. That's what he is. That's what he's going to do.
When we talk about this Colts defense, and you're saying running cover three, he said, Bradley did, that they're going to maybe have to take a look at some stuff, and freely admitted that they were concerned about the Texans' wide receivers with Stroud throwing the ball and weren't as concerned about the running game, and maybe that's how it kind of got away from them a little bit. I argue in this game, there's no need to worry about the quarterback throwing the ball. In this game, you plan to stop the run first and then see if he can actually throw the ball against you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what you should do. I mean, this is one of those, like, I remember going to a Packers-Bears game years ago, and Trubisky was there, and the first play of the game, the Packers safeties were 8 yards deep. Like, the deepest man was 8 yards deep, and like, oh, okay, they don't think he can throw. That's what they should do.
Yep.
They should have one or two safeties None of them deeper than 10 yards. All of them flat-footed when it snapped and looking to pin down and do it. Again, it's Gus Bradley. Like, I don't think he's going to do that. I mean, even his single high stuff, single high means you got an extra guy in the box because you don't have a deep guy, right? Like, so you should be able to play well against the run, against cover three. Like, they haven't. I think DeForest Buckner is a little banged up now, so I'm curious what happens
on
defensive side.
DeForest Buckner and Kwadipe both are DNPs, and they lost their cornerback Juju Brents for the season.
They sure did, and I didn't see what the pay stuff. I don't think they've announced what that was yet. It was just
Kwadipe is out with a hamstring as of right now.
Is that a hamstring? Okay, yeah, it's not. I mean, it doesn't look good for them up front, and so they're going to have to again. If you're running cover three, that means you have got an extra guy in the box than you would as cover two. Like, that's how this works. If they want to commit more guys to the run game, they've got no one deep. So then you can say, all right, as Packers fans, do you want to see Malik Willis try to chuck deep against not cover zero, but man-to-man across the board every single time? Or do you want him to run into a heavy box? And based on what they have up front, maybe they can run into a stacked box and still gain some yards anyway. Like, I don't know what changes very much, but I also don't trust that Gus Bradley is going to do anything different.
Let's talk about Anthony Richardson. We all saw the pass that he made that was like 60 or 70 yards, I don't know, falling off his back foot and handing Alec Pearson stride with two defenders chasing him against the Texans. That was the highlight play of the week, I think, across the NFL. What did you see when you watched the film?
I mean, so I've been watching Anthony Richardson because I grew up being a big fan of Florida, and so I've changed my allegiances since I graduated from the UK, but I still keep track of Florida. So I've been watching Richardson since Florida. Richardson's always been that dude. First of all, very little information on him because he's barely played, even back as far as high school. But remarkably talented guy, like an arm about as good as you will ever see. Insanely inconsistent. I will say his understanding and his reads have gotten better, but his feet are terrible. His eyes are not tied to the feet at all, and so you'll see him just spray a ball wide off a wide open guy. So you'll get, I think what you'll get with it, Richardson, is some eye-popping, insane plays, both in the run game and the pass game. He ran for a touchdown in this game as well, or maybe that was a two-point conversion, that he juked two guys and then just ran over two guys at the goal line. His other touchdown throw was just an absolute laser that never got more than like 4 feet off the ground that just split a defender, and then the guy ran to the end zone. Like, he was about 2 inches away from a Nady Mitchell on two touchdowns. So there are eye-popping plays, and the arm is live, and he's a big dude. He's just remarkably inconsistent. I think this offense, with what Alec Pierce did, with what A.D. Mitchell gives him, with Jonathan Taylor in the backfield, like, they could be one of the scariest offenses in the league, but play-by-play, you have no idea how it's going to go because Richardson has just never shown any consistency whatsoever.
I
think he's going to spray a few balls, but he's going to make some throws that just make you go, I've never seen something like that.
I said on Monday that Richardson's going to throw you two or three balls, just catch it. Just catch it. And you're going to get a couple of turnovers in this game. He's going to give you every opportunity to turn over the ball.
Correct. That's exactly right. And he threw one this past week. I think he could have thrown two. He's going to give you your opportunities. He's also going to make a 70-yard throw. Like, that's who he is.
Absolutely right. He is Dusty Evely. Follow him. You're not going to want to miss it, especially this week at Dusty Evely. He's talking Packers and Colts for both of his gigs, Pack a Day Podcast and at the Colts Wire on Twitter. Check him out. Paul Brettle also doing double duty there as well. Dusty, thank you so much.
Thanks, Park. Appreciate you, man.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Dusty Evely.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.